Well, I ask for your prayers this evening. I'd like to begin with the scripture in the book of James. Chapter 5, verse 4. Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Most everyone works off of the principle of the reward system. There are some who just donate their time, but that's usually a specific cause. For the most part, we're dependent upon wages that we receive from our efforts. If you're self-employed, you're expecting when you complete a job that you're going to be rewarded for that job. You're going to be given the pay that you have requested for it. Well, this evening, my little burden is rewards. Rewards. If you'll allow me a few minutes, I'd just like to share a few things from my own past that bear on the subject of rewards. I grew up in a farming community. My father had a small farm. We had a few cattle. Most of the community was a dairy community. A lot of the boys in the community grew up working on the dairy farms. We either shoveled the lots, or we put out hay for the cows, or hauled hay, or milked cows. We did those kinds of things. So the work that we did was sometimes dirty work, hard work, sweaty work. But we did it because we had anticipation of being paid. And there was nothing more exciting to us farm boys than when the time came for payday to get our check. And it was one thing to be paid cash, but it seemed like it was something else to be to somebody to write you a check. Because then that meant you got to go to the bank. And when you went to the bank, you got to sign the back of your check and give it to the teller, and she counted out the cash to you. And that just seemed like a transaction that was, it was special. It was a reward. It was something that you felt real good about. Well, in our community, we also tried to work for one another and do small jobs. And I remember one day my father helped me find a job. And there was a lady that widow that needed some work done. So my father offered my services to her. And I went up there, and my anticipation was, of course, I'm going to get paid. So I went up there and I worked. And I worked. And it seemed like there was no end to things that she could think of that needed to be done. I thought it was going to be a relatively short day of work, but it turned into a pretty full day. And when the day was done and she went in the house, she said, "Just a minute, I'll be right back." I thought, "Oh yeah, here it is. This is when the pay comes." I got a crocheted flower. A little bitty crocheted flower. I looked at that crocheted flower. There were a lot of things that went through my mind, but I didn't say anything. Got on my bicycle, and I rode home with my crocheted flower. But I chalked that thing up to my memory. Said, "Now, wait a minute. if I get offered for this service again, there's going to be a little reckoning on my side. No. It would be one thing if I was told, I need you to go help. Just go help this person. But that wasn't the way it was presented to me. I felt very... Well, as a young boy, I felt violated. I felt like I had been taken advantage of. I felt like something didn't fit right here. So, as you can see, that's something that has stuck in my mind for many, many years. And I still very well remember that because I had to reach up way high in the top of the tree to pick the figs. Way up there. And cleaning out a chicken coop, those kinds of things. But for the most part, all of our works was rewarded with the rewards. There came a time as I got older and the bicycle no longer was doing the trick because the jobs were reaching out farther and farther away. I went to my dad one day and I said, Daddy, I'd like to have some transportation. Well, what do you need, son? Well, Daddy, I saw a motorcycle. And I wish I could get a motorcycle to ride to work in these hay fields instead of having to ride my bicycle. Well, son, how much do they want for it? Well, Daddy, they want $400 for it. Well, son, how much do you have? Well, I've got about half of that saved up. I feel like my dad could have loaned me the other $200. But he said, well, let's go to the bank. We loaded up in the truck and drove to the LaRonger. There was a little bank there in LaRonger. And he said, we're going to go in here and talk to the banker and I want you to tell him what your need is. So we went in there and sat down. He said, what can I do for you, son? I said, well, I'd like to buy a motorcycle and I don't have enough money. I've got about half of it. And I said, I'd need another $200 if I could maybe get a loan for the $200. And I'm old enough now to know kind of what the rest of that conversation was without words. My dad sitting there beside me. They loaned me the $200. So I bought my first motorcycle. That opened up a door of opportunity. So we worked, boys in the community, we worked. When we got our paychecks, we would go to the bank as quickly as we could because we didn't have much cash. We didn't have very much money. So we'd go to the bank as quickly as we could. We'd cash our checks and we'd pool our resources and put 50 cents or a dollar together here and there. We'd come up with $4 or $5 and we'd put some gas in the car and we'd go to town because we had our rewards. We had a little bit of money to put some gas in the car and we might even get to go to Sonic and pull in the drive-in and order something. Get a malt or cold drink or a float or something like that because we had our reward. You see, the reward meant something. It meant something to have that in your hand. It was a beautiful thing to be able to enjoy that experience. And later on in years, as I grew into adulthood, you know how things change and progress in life. And got married. And I was working in a shop where I was doing real well for a while. But the economy in 1981, 1982, those of you who are old enough to remember, that economy, it went south really bad. Oklahoma area, Midwest, it went south bad there. It went south in Louisiana too. Interest rates. You might choke when you hear this if you don't remember it, but if you needed to borrow money for a home, or for anything, interest rates were, it was common for them to be in the mid-teens. That's mortgage interest, mid-teens. And we were operating under that system. And I had to go to work for a small shop. And the man who had the shop was just starting a new business. And I worked there for a little while, year and a half or so. And I noticed one day he came to me and said, I'm going to pay you partial check and partial cash. Well, that didn't put on any red lights in my mind yet. But there came a time when I went to the bank one day to cash my check, and I couldn't cash my check. That's not a good feeling if you've ever been there. Because what the bank told me is, I'm sorry, sir, there are not sufficient funds for me to cash your check. Well, is there anything we can do? Well, you'll have to come back another day. Try to come back maybe the middle of next week and we'll see. Well, I worked all week. I worked all week and I got my check here, but I can't do anything with it. Over the process of time, he had to go out of business. I went to the unemployment office to try to see if there was anything I could help me to bridge the gap between jobs. I walked in, I sat down and talked with the lady a little bit, and she pulled up my records and she said, well, you haven't worked in a year and a half. I said, yes, ma'am, I have. I worked today. She said, we don't have any record of any wages being reported for you for a year and a half. I said, but I don't understand. She said, well, I'm sorry, sir, but we can't do anything. You haven't worked. We can't do anything for you. There's nothing been paid for you for this long. So I had to go back and tell my boss what he already knew. He was very sheepish about it. So I parted ways there, went to work for another shop. We were expecting our first child. Went to work in this shop, and everybody in the shop worked on straight commission. Whatever tickets you turned in, you got commission off of that. The shop was flooded with people because everybody needed a job. And they didn't have any overhead by hiring 10 or 15 mechanics because they didn't have to pay them any hourly wage. Just whatever tickets they turned in, they got paid. The mechanics got paid off of that. And if they turned enough business out of the shop, that was to their advantage. I remember one day going home to my wife with a check for $75 for a week. I felt bad. I know that we needed more than $75, and she was expecting more than $75. Rewards. Wages. We work off of the reward system, and we have anticipation that when we work, we're going to be given our paycheck for that. And the children work off of that system. When children are acting up or misbehaving, if you take the profit out of the equation for whatever it is they're doing, they'll change their behavior because they also work off the profit system, the reward system. So if we take away that component, it changes the whole picture. You see, it changed it for me whenever I got my crocheted flower because the profit wasn't there. I couldn't trade a crocheted flower to any of my buddies. They weren't interested in a crocheted flower. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Interesting concept, isn't it? The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Why? Because he has anticipation of receiving reward for his efforts. It's the common principle. Now, I know that there are other means that are worked out for when you hire on to a company, they'll tell you, we pay every other week. We pay weekly. We pay once a month. We'll pay you X number of dollars, this amount per hour, and if you work off a commission, if you have a bogey, you have a quota that you meet, you get above that quota, everything above that quota, you make commission off of that. When we enter into that type of arrangement, we understand. So I expect then, at the end of 2 weeks, if that's the arrangement, when 2 weeks is up, I'm going to get a check. Or I'm going to have something deposited in my bank account, however arrangement you've got made. The scripture here says, not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night till in the morning. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Chapter 22. Verses 14 and 15. I'm sorry, 13. 22 and 13. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work, that saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar, and painted with vermilion. The principle here is, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages. So here again is that same principle being given to us in the scriptures. It's wrong to take advantage of another man's services. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever worked for somebody and had the expectation you were going to be paid for it, and it was all said and done, I'll pay you tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, well, come see me next week. Next week comes, well, I've run up against tight situation. Come back in 2 weeks and I'll have it. That type of thing happens over and over again to people throughout the nation, throughout our society. It's an uncomfortable situation, but it happens. I'd like now to go back to Deuteronomy. You stay with me. There's something here for us to look at. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Verses 14, 15. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. You see, many times when we were in the hay field, one gentleman especially that we worked for, when the day was done, he would come to us and say, guys, I've got another field that we're going to try to get up tomorrow. Now, would you like me to go ahead and pay you today, or do you want to wait and get paid tomorrow? Now that was a little bit of a dilemma, because you said, well, if I get paid today, the old saying, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, so I've got one check in my hand, and I can go to the bank with two checks. But if I wait until tomorrow, it'd be a bigger check. So you had a decision to make. I could wait till tomorrow to get paid, or I could go ahead and get paid today. Some guys would say, no, go ahead, I want to get mine now. Some guys would wait because they wanted the bigger check. You see, those are the arrangements that we make when we're doing business with one another, with our fellow man. At his day, thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor. He sets his heart upon it. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. You see, the Lord has a reward also. And there's another scripture that I want us to look at. It, to me, is a beautiful scripture in the book of Revelations, chapter 22. Revelations chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. The word reward here comes from a Greek word that means wages. Wages. Do you know, folks, when we make the decision to worship the Lord, we make the decision to serve Him, when the Lord comes by and offers us a visit, He comes by and He deals with our hearts and He says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Or, "Follow me and I will be a God to you. Follow me and I'll be a friend to you. Follow me and I'll offer you eternal life. If you'll follow me, I have something that I can give you at the end. Follow me. Be one of my servants. Be one of my children. And I have something that I can return to you when it comes to the day." And thank the Lord, folks, we understand that while we're living here in this life, the things that you and I do day in and day out in our efforts to worship the Lord, they don't go unnoticed. When we come to the end of our journey, if we have served the Lord with our whole heart and we put everything into it and we've reached up high in the top to get the choice fruit, we've done the dirty work, we've got down low in the ditches, we've done all the things that the Lord has asked us to do, required of us to do, we've made effort to separate ourselves from the world and try to live holy and upright and clean and pure, He says, "I come. I come, and when I come, my wages is with me. I have something to give you. And it's not going to be money, but it's going to be far above, far beyond the things that we could anticipate here in this world." I thank God that He has made that promise to us. We've entered into a contract, if you will, with the Lord. I didn't do it. When you came down to an altar of prayer, when the Lord knocked on your heart's door, and you answered and you said, "Yes, Lord, I'll let you in. Yes, Lord, be my God. Yes, Lord, be my Savior. Be my guide. Be my help. Be my healer." All of those things. The Lord does that for us. And it's not like there isn't anything that we receive from it while we're here. Right now, we received what is called the earnest of the Spirit. The down payment, if you will. We receive the portion, a little bit of it here. But He says, "I'm coming back. And when I come back to receive you, my wages is with me. My reward is with me." I thank God, folks, we have the bright anticipation that when the Lord does come back to receive His own, that's the day that He's going to hand to us those things that He bought for us. Those things that He made available. It's not just a one-way street. It's not just that we do everything or God does everything. It is one of those things where we enter into an agreement, an arrangement with the Lord. And when it comes down to the end of that journey, and I am done, I lay down my body, I leave this old world, or the Lord calls an end to it all, and He comes through the clouds. When He does come, thank God, folks, His reward is with Him. It says, "My reward is with me, my wages is with me." So when I come down to the end of that day, and I was hot, and I was sweaty, and sometimes those farmers would stop in the middle of the day, and they knew that it was hot, they knew we were sweaty, they knew we were tired, they knew we'd been in the barn with the dust and the itchy and scratchy hay falling all over us, and once in a while they'd stop and say, "Hey guys, come take a break." Or you'd be looking some, there's a couple of guys that we knew, if we saw that truck coming across the field, we knew that he had an ice chest in the back of that truck. He had been to the store and he brought us Dr. Peppers and honey buns. And buddy, was that good. Whenever you sat down on the tailgate of that truck and popped the top off of that Dr. Pepper, bottle of Dr. Pepper, and opened that honey bun and you sat down there, sugar, and you ate that honey bun and you slugged that pop. He also knew what he was doing. He was recharging our batteries. You know, if we could take a few minutes break, sit down and take that Dr. Pepper and that honey bun, in about 30 minutes time, we'd be pumped and we'd be ready to go. It was always a refreshing moment to see him come across that field. And there would be a time when you'd catch the guys every once in a while looking across the field at the gate. See, is he coming yet? Is there any dust on the gravel road? There's some dust. Is that him? No, that wasn't him. Looking for those kind of reward. The reward. Because when that reward came, it was such a benefit and a blessing. Time to sit down for a little bit, guys. And it was, to me, what was so beautiful is when those guys would pull in that field, the way that they would talk to us. A bunch of boys. But they treated us with respect, with dignity. We had calluses on our hands. Our muscles were pumped because we'd been throwing hay bales for hours. 1,000, 1,500 bales in a field. That can look depressing when you pull into a field with 1,000 or 12 or 1,500 square bales sitting on the ground. And you got five guys. Sometimes you'd have two crews. Two guys, one guy on this side picking up two rows or four rows of hay, and another guy on this side picking up two rows or four rows, one guy on the wagon stacking just as fast as he could stack, trying to get out of that hot, hot field. And here comes the Dr. Pepper truck. And when the day was done, when you were finished at the end of the day, maybe it was 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and you were working by tractor lights or truck lights, the headlights shining in the barn so you could see where to place the bales and stack those square bales in the barn so they wouldn't fall. And what was so beautiful is to know that the farmer, he had respect for you and he trusted you. He trusted you with his equipment. If you were faithful, he'd say, I remember one day when one of the farmers that I had been working for came to me and said, "Son, I need you to take my Jeep back to the barn." "Do you mean that? I can take your Jeep?" He said, "Yeah, take my Jeep back to the barn." And I got to thinking, hey, there's a big mud hole in one of those gates. I get to drive the Jeep through that mud hole. There are so many incidental rewards that came with the job. So many little incidental things, more than just the paycheck. There was a day when he came to me and said, Would you take this tractor to that field and fluff that hay?" And in my mind I'm thinking, "Do you mean you want me to drive your tractor too? Would you take my tractor and go fluff that hay in that next field for me?" You see, when we make an effort to serve the Lord, there are many, many little incidental things along the way. They're really not incidental. Because as I stand here before you this evening and relate these instances to you, they're things that stick in my mind. And they do that because they meant something to me. Still they mean something to me. Because it was a time to learn. It was a time to have value. It was a time as I look back and I realize that those men put faith and trust and confidence in a bunch of young boys to help them get their work done, to help them take care of their business. And it makes me think sometimes when I lie on my bed at night that my Heavenly Father trusts me with little jobs, incidental things here and there along the way. And when I come to the end of my journey, the Scripture says, I'm coming back, and my wages is with me. I'm going to pay you. And I wonder sometimes, and I know I don't want to diminish it to that thing of a job and reward of pay, but there is something that the Lord has promised that we would get. A reward. He says here, "My reward is with me. My reward is with me." And again, that word translated from a Greek word that means wages. So when I think back over my own life, if I knew that I was going to enter into a labor contract with someone who wouldn't pay me, I wouldn't work there. If I knew I was going to enter into a labor contract with someone who was going to short me, wouldn't work there. All depends on how desperate you are for the wages. But I read in the Scriptures where the Lord gave counsel to not withhold the wages of the poor. I read in the Scriptures where He said, don't hold them overnight. I read in the Scriptures where He said, behold, the wages of him that you have defrauded cry out before me. That tells me that my God knows what the benefit of reward is. That tells me that my God works off a principle too. That tells me that I can have confidence and faith to believe that when I come to the end of my journey, if I've been faithful to Him, I'll get my reward. And there will be those times whenever, if you will allow me this little bit of a fanciful idea, when I'll see the dust boiling up. And the Dr. Pepper and the honey bun come. Because there are things that you and I are going to do in life. It's going to be tough. There are things that we're going to do in serving the Lord. It's going to be some hard things at times. He's going to ask us if we're willing to do certain things. And sometimes that's going to turn into much more than we realize. But He's also going to see if we'll be faithful. Because the Scripture says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There again is the reward system, you see. If you'll be faithful, I will give that to you. But what we find is, when we're doing those kinds of things and we're honestly from the depth of our heart trying to serve the Lord, trying to do the right thing, oh, there are many fringe benefits that come along with it. The little things here and there along the way that really make a difference in our lives, that give us a little down payment, a little earnest of what is to come. And we can't begin to fathom what is to come. I thank God for His Word and the principles in His Word, the things that He has to teach us through His Word. I know that not everyone grew up on a farm. I know that not everyone has that kind of a heritage. My own opinion is there's a great benefit in that. And if you grow up in that kind of environment, it puts you a little closer to the ground, a little closer to the land. And it helps you to have a little, maybe a little deeper appreciation of the things of God and how we get the things that we get. And it helps us to have more of a close relationship with God. If we get too far away from sometimes the basics and the fundamentals of life, we get kind of hardened to those things that are simple and simplistic. I'm thankful for that opportunity I had. To be honest with you, as I've looked back over my life, I'm even thankful for the crocheted flower. For that little crocheted flower. Because it's helped me to be able to put a contrast on things. Oh, I could have been very angry and bitter about it. Disappointed? Yeah, I was disappointed. What if I came down to the end of my journey, at the end of life, and I had tried to do everything that I knew to do, and I come down to the end of the journey with the Lord, and all I got was the little crocheted flower in return. That the principle. You see, when the Lord says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, I have enough in the Scripture to make me believe that that means eternal life with the Father. Beautiful, glorious, eternal life. And I'm thankful for that. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one. Amen.